This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is coming up to 6:07. You are with Kelvin and Hezril on the evening edition. We're delving into Bersatu joining Muafakat Nasional. This was announced by Prime Minister and Bersatu President Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin over the weekend. He said via a Facebook video that he believes this was the best option for the party, and leaders from UMNO and PAS have welcomed the move.
That's right. And PAS Secretary General Datuk Taqiyuddin Hassan, for instance, said that his party fully supports it. He added that the union would help the pact champion issues linked to Islam, Malays and Bumiputras, as well as create a stronger multiracial Malaysia.
The announcement comes amid defections of Bersatu members to Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad's new party, Parti Perjuang Tanah Air, or Perjuang. Bersatu publicised the expulsion of 282 members in publications like Berita Harian. As a result, Tan Sri Muhyiddin is the only remaining founding member. With that, we want to understand what all of this means for Bersatu and the new pact moving forward.
So lots going on. I really don't know how I feel about this, but I think one thing that stood out is clearly the political optics of this, right? Mm-hmm. Previously, Tan Sri Muhyiddin wanted to formalize the Perikatan Nasional Pact, and now he's ended up joining Muafakat Nasional, which brings into question a lot of things, and I think certainly one of those is who gets to call the shots now, right?
Yep.
Because we all know that despite the fact that politicians try to portray this image of we're equal partners and all this that we're all have equal share and all of our opinions have equal weight, that clearly it comes down to who has most seats. Mm-hmm. and who has a vested interest in calling the shots, and I think a lot of analysts have said now UMNO is calling the shots, or at least BN is, and that Bersatu will have to compromise on seats for seat talks if there is a general snap poll.
You're right. And I think just on that, it's really been the public image of the three packs, that the three component parties, when they say, well, everyone is an equal partner in this relationship, but not really. I think to the point of Tan Sri Muhyiddin's statement that this is the best option for Bersatu as a party to move forward.
Yeah.
I wonder if this was really the only option that the party had, right? Because the moment that Perjuang was announced, we saw so many other members leaving, and the relationship on the ground between PAS, UMNO, as well as Bersatu, between grassroots members aren't really so great yet. The top leaders are portraying perhaps a more unified image. But on the ground, some reports are suggesting that, okay, just be careful of Bersatu. We don't know what they want. We don't really know who they are as well. So, and to that point, right, it's really something to observe that the membership for now is really only provisionally accepted. So we'll just have to wait and see whether at the end of the day, Bersatu truly gets to join Muafakat, or whether or not moving ahead, the two big parties, UMNO and PAS, will just say, well, we don't actually need you anymore, so goodbye. And then what then in the future lies ahead for Perikatan Nasional?
But if we look at the number of seats, if we count, Azmin's faction, and I think YB's writer Kamaruddin said that apparently that her and her fellow colleagues are supposed to join Bersatu, that's around 30 seats, which I think is more than PAS's a number of seats in parliament. So technically speaking, if we want to go to the number of seats, then Bersatu would have a bigger say in terms of bargaining chips. So I'm just wondering how those dynamics might change in the future, how those might shift, or if they will shift at all. Because the other option is for Bersatu to just join UMNO, right? We've heard those calls by UMNO politicians and by analysts. And I'm actually surprised that they haven't done so, because it just seems that with the number of defections to Tunem's new party, you know, what will be left of Bersatu moving forward?
And I wonder if then this signals any sort of sign that perhaps Pejuang is a bigger threat than initially perceived, right? Because, well, first of all, who needs another party? Clearly, there's quite a bit of interest going on there. Some assembly persons have also declared that they do not want assembly persons from Bersatu have said that they just don't want to be part of Bersatu. They've moved on as well to, you know, perhaps join Tunem's party. But you can let us know, what do you think of the announcement coming from Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin? Call us 7733-2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. What do you think about Bersatu joining Muafakat Nasional? Does this serve a higher and better purpose? You can send in your thoughts. After this, we'll be speaking to Professor Dr. Shamsul Amri Baharuddin, Director at the Institute of Ethnic Studies at UKM. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
It is 6:16. You are with Kelvin and Hezril on the Evening Edition, and we are talking about Bersatu joining Muafakat Nasional. The application has been provisionally accepted. You can send in your thoughts about what you think this partnership now means for Malaysia. Call 7733-2900. You can also tweet at BFM Radio, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. We're now crossing over to Professor Dr. Shamsul Amri Baharuddin, Director of the Institute of Ethnic Studies at UKM, to talk about the impact and what it means for Bersatu moving forward. Thanks so much for joining us today, Prof. Shamsul.
Welcome. Thank you.
What's your overall impression of Bersatu's entrance into the pact?
Well, I think Bersatu has no choice but to join Muafakat Nasional. And it reminds me of the Bersatu in PH before the government. Before, they were also a minority party. But the most important, the most significant characteristic of Bersatu is that Each Bersatu, the PH and the PN Bersatu, provides the Prime Minister. Now, that is a very significant point that must be taken. At the same time, even though they are small in number or smaller than PAS and UMNO and MCA put together, they still have the power, for example, in deciding who are going to be the ministers, the senior minister and so on. So you can see distribution of power still within the hand of Bersatu. But in the end, the Bersatu in PN has to become part and parcel of the Muafakat Nasional, just the way they become part and parcel of PKR and DAP, you know, whole PH.
Right. On the flip side, though, what does Bersatu's failure to formalize Perikatan Nasional say about its political standing? Because in previous weeks, that was one of the hopes that you know, Bersatu wanted to realize.
But I think PH until today is not a single party, like Barisan Nasional, not a single coalition. So his worry about what happened to PH, I think, was the worry that people in Bersatu has. If we don't create this unity in the form of a registered coalition, we might break up. But I think Muafakat Nasional has made sure that you want to create this, you are the minor partner, we tell you what we want. So I think this is the struggle within the present Pakatan Nasional, and Bersatu has realized that they are not going to win if they want to challenge Muafakat Nasional's position.
So that sounds like Bersatu will have to make quite a few concessions.
Definitely.
So Tun M's announced his new party called Pejuang. Would you say that Bersatu's addition to Muafakat stems from the fact that they see Pejuang as a threat?
Oh, I don't think Pejuang has any impact on anybody here in the country, except for opening an important path for Mohris to become the Prime Minister. There's nothing else Perjuangan can offer as Perjuangan, except the rhetoric that Mahathir has mentioned.
On the flip side, moving back to Muafakat Nasional, do you foresee any challenges to this alliance?
Within, you see, you have to understand the systemic nature of Malaysian coalition. Malaysian coalition, only Barisan Nasional has established an official coalition with MCA, MIC, but they were before that, Socialist Front. So there were a couple of coalitions in Malaysia. But this coalition has also produced many splinter parties, splinter groups like Sepakatan, like Semangat 46 and so on. So I believe that the nature of our coalition will provide that they have a fault lines that goes a long way, because most of them have been jumping from UMNO to Bersatu and then back to Bersatu within the friends of UMNO, as friends of UMNO and PAS. So I think the challenge will be always within the coalition.
For MIC and MCA, what implications does the addition of another Malay party, Muafakat, have for them?
I would say, unfortunately, unlike when it's in PKR with a mixed membership, and DAP is almost mono membership, so I don't think MCA, MIC have got much to say, because they are the most... They have to, for example, MCA has to survive on Malay majority seats, because the Chinese majority seats almost belonging to DAP now. So what choice do they have? I don't think they have many choice. And MIC don't even have a single MP or ADUN, which has an Indian majority. So it's quite an interesting distribution of power there. It's almost like symbolic representation.
Hmm. Let's move to the youth wings in Bersatu and UMNO. So recently the mention of Bersatu Armada by UMNO President Dato' Sri Zahid Hamidi at a slim by-election rally was met with boos and jeers by UMNO youth. Do you think this is an isolated event, or are there extensive tensions between the two youth wings?
The tension is not between only the two youth wings. It's also between the ex-UMNO in Bersatu and the present UMNO in UMNO. I mean, in Johor, you can see this tension goes on until today. You can read the news, you can read the reports about still in the Johor State Legislative Council, there was a threat to change again to the old Pakatan Harapan government, and where Sultan Johor has to intervene, even though he has no power really to dissolve the state, until and unless requested by the Menteri Besar. So I think what happened on the ground, at the grassroots, Bersatu and UMNO issues are not settled yet. And I think now with the election, or the proposed election is coming, so these issues will come back again and again. So what you see is perhaps that dimension of the struggle at the local level, in SLIM.
What will it take to soothe some of those tensions, and will these parties ever be able to reach some point of peace, I guess?
Well, in some ways, one of the formula that I have suggested to when people ask me, they have to accept the fact that whatever seats they have won, whether as UMNO and then jump to Bersatu and become a Bersatu seat, whatever it is, now the PN is formed, Perikatan Nasional is formed, so they should stick with the seats that they have won in whatever party they are when Perikatan Nasional was formed. Now, it is the rest of the seats they have to negotiate. So that's much easier to deal with rather than trying to dismantle everybody's seat thinking, oh, this is an old UMNO seat. It won't work. That is the cause of the problem. But if they are willing to accept whatever they are, the moment Perikatan Nasional was formed, and then the rest can be negotiated.
So many analysts, as well as politicians, have said that one option for Bersatu is for them to rejoin UMNO. How likely is this option?
Not likely at all, because the UMNO at the local level are not happy to accept them back. So the leaders may think so, but the people at the bottom, who are the foot soldiers of UMNO, I don't think they will readily accept this unless they are rewarded with many other things, you know, like, you know, more projects, more program for the youth and the local UMNO. Because you must remember, UMNO Cawangan, UMNO Bahagian are the two most important components. We can't talk about Member of Parliament, we can't talk about ADUN, but without talking about UMNO Cawangan, UMNO Bahagian. If you don't talk about this, the UMNO branches and UMNO division, there's nothing that we are looking at, even when we do Ebersati. So they still they still organize themselves according to the UMNO framework.
Let's zoom in on PAS very briefly. What's in it for them to back Bersatu's entry into Muafakat?
Well, PAS, like DAP, I'm sorry to say that, they will regain what they have. Because these are a special group of voters. Like the DAP has got all the Chinese voters supporting them. PAS have got the moralistic voters, or moral-oriented voters, who feel PAS, the only party that's not corrupt. So they will remain with PAS. Whatever they are, 18 or 20, and now they control also the state government of Terengganu and Kelantan. That's why PAS, whichever way they support, I think they'll be okay.
So given this new provisional alliance, right, it hasn't been formalized yet, but what are Muafakat Nasional's chances of forming the next government if a snap general election is called?
I think they have a very good chance to run the next government, continue to run the next government, because now Muafakat includes Bersatu. So it's just that I don't know how they're going to campaign, provide a campaign, a common platform and so on. This is what they are trying to sort out. So once they have the common platform, I mean, remember, Bersatu now has got experience with PH, okay? Not UMNO and not UMNO and PAS, but Bersatu now has worked with PH for at least for 22 months. They have, in hindsight, they have learned a lot to actually tell Muafakat, this is how what we did when we were PH. So why don't we consider this suggestion from us? Because we are facing PH now, and I'm the only party, or we are the only one that actually know how PH works. So this is the advantage that Bersatu has, you know, in relation to its relationship with Muafakat Nasional.
Prof, thanks so much for those insights.
Yeah, you're most welcome. Thank you.
That was Professor Datuk Dr. Shamsul Amri Baharuddin, Director of the Institute of Ethnic Studies at UKM. He was talking to us about Bersatu joining Muafakat Nasional. You can send in your thoughts. Call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. We have the 6:30 news coming up. This is the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.